Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, Gene, we only talk to the best and the brightest. We've been fortunate. We've talked to a lot of people. We've talked to, who was at the NFL owners meetings this week? We had Fairburn. We had Rodak. And now that the meetings have concluded, we have the guy that, in my opinion, must read material for any Bills fan. Joe Buscaglia did 10 things you need to know about Sean McDermott coming out of the NFL meetings. You can read that on his website, WKBW.com. Bills beat reporter Joe Buscaglia joining us in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, man?
I'm great, guys. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the kind words as well.
Yeah, you had a front row seat there for the conversation with the rare conversation with Terry Pegula. I guess we'll start there. What were your biggest takeaways? What did you learn the most here in your conversation with the Bills owner?
Well, I think there are a couple of main topics that were the big ones here. The first one was the relationship between Doug Whaley and Sean McDermott. And this was an issue coming from last week and really even the final weeks of the season when everything kind of devolved with Rex Ryan and you know, there were constant reports that were coming out. Where was all this stuff coming from? Some people might have thought that maybe Doug Whaley had a hand in this whole thing, and then he says he didn't know that Rex was going to get fired. So there's just this constant discord that seemed like was coming from the front office with even Rex Ryan and even the coaching staff before him, the Doug Marrone era. So when you read a report like the one from Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports that goes along the lines of saying, you know, the Bills are going to look to add someone that Sean McDermott's a little bit more comfortable with in the front office, and that the Whaley/McDermott relationship isn't built to last. I mean, that's stuff that has to be addressed, because if he can't get along with the first two coaches and can't get along with the third coach within the first 3 months of him being on the job, then there's a problem there. But, you know, from what we heard from Terry Pegula and along those lines, I honestly believe that we need to give Doug Whaley the benefit of the doubt for now. I mean, is it going to be rosy? Is it going to be something where it's just totally hunky-dory? They get along and agree on everything. No, that's not going to happen. But I do think that the Bills want to make that relationship work. And, you know, from all the public perception and everything like that, I think that's the message they are trying to deliver, that they are a unified front. And so Terry Pegula was very adamant that that's how it was going to go. And, you know, just even seeing them around the NFL owners meetings, you know, that group was always together. So I don't know. I think we might have we might not see the end of Doug Whaley. Maybe the end of Doug Whaley is a bit premature here. And then the other thing is the stadium stuff. And Terry Pegula is very smart in not committing to saying, hey, you know what, eventually we're going to build one, you know, because there's a lot of different things at play here. Literally in 2014, right before he was ratified, he and Kim Pegula were ratified as the owners of the team. They were essentially, not essentially, the Ralph Wilson Stadium was renovated with a $130 million project that was funded a lot by the state. So it being only 2017, they can't sit there and go, hey, you know what, eventually we're gonna get a new stadium, especially when the lease runs through 2023. I do, however, believe that the NFL, once that lease starts to really come to a conclusion, they're going to ramp up the pressure on the Pegulas to have a plan of what is going to happen in terms of a new facility. Because if you remember, when they were initially ratified, almost every single owner came out of that meeting and said, you know, we were satisfied with their plans on a potential new stadium in Buffalo because we need that, and we need them to continue to be viable. So nothing for now, but I'm of the belief that eventually it will happen.
Bills beat reporter Joe Buscaglia, good with his time and joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. And Joe, back to that Lockenfour report. I mean, I guess what's alarming to me is this continues to happen. Now, Lockenfora is a lot more misses than he is hits, but who within the organization? Where does this information come from? How does it get out there? Every time it happens, it just seems like it's a bad look for the organization.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why they kind of want to put an end to all that. And I think, I don't know if they're going to keep Whaley on board just in spite of that report. I think that might be taking a little bit too far, but I think they are trying to give off the perception, or maybe it is actually like this. Who knows? I mean, they've only been working together for under 3 months that these guys are on the same page. And, let's see how it happens when they get into the season and if they're continuing to work together, lock and key sort of deal. But, Doug Whaley has to be a little bit more careful this time around because Rex Ryan fell out of favor with the Pegulas because of maybe his boisterous claims and not really having the attention to detail that was necessary of a coaching staff. I think that wore thin on them. And then, Doug Whaley was in almost a position of power as the guy that, wasn't the biggest of their problems at that point. They thought it was Rex Ryan, and that's why they made the move that they did. So he does need to be careful, though, because if it gets to a situation where, things aren't going well, the draft picks that they're making aren't hitting and everything like that, the free agents that they've signed aren't playing up to par, the roster just isn't playing up to expectations, it's not going to be McDermott with his butt on the line. It's going to be Doug Whaley. I mean, McDermott's on very solid footing, and I don't think he has anything to worry about anytime soon. I think that's Doug Whaley if things kind of devolve here.
Joe Biscaglia from WKBW, our guest here, the Bills beat reporter here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. So we're all excited about the draft here, Joe, coming up. And I know you're a draft Nick. Number 10 overall, the Bills select. Gosh, if you're just drafting on need alone, between the corner, between the wide receiver, maybe one of the linebacker spots, what is the biggest need right now on this Bills roster?
Take your pick, man. I mean, it is. They have so many ways that they can address the 10th overall selection. You brought up wide receiver, and that remains a huge need only because they're literally thinking about trotting out either Philly Brown or Andre Holmes as their number two wide receiver at this point. I just can't get on board with that. So that's a big need. However, wide receiver, a pretty solid draft this year in terms of depth. You've got your guys like Zay Jones that you can pick up in the second round from East Carolina. Juju Smith-Schuster out of USC, you can pick him up. And even going deeper into it, third round, fourth round, guys like KD Cannon from Baylor, Noah Smith from Ohio State, that's a later round guy, so that you can find some guys out there so maybe they don't have to force that pick. Same deal with a defensive back. Corners, very strong this year. Same thing with safeties. So do you want that top-end guy or maybe you can wait on it and address a different position. Right tackle remains a huge need to me, but I just don't know that there's a guy worth 10th overall pick to address that need, because you certainly don't want the turnstile Jordan Mills to continue playing there. And linebacker too. I mean, we learned from Doug McDermott. saying Doug McBuckets.
But it's the Voltron of NFL franchises. We combine the GM and the head coach to make one super executive.
And it just so happens to be the name of a Chicago Bulls basketball player. So it's all right there for me. But what we learned from Sean McDermott about the linebackers, Reggie Ragland, who he raved about, brought up the name of Luke Kuechly and Jeremiah Trotter, two middle linebackers that he has dealt with significantly, about that type of leadership DNA that Ragland might have. And then also saying that Preston Brown is also a middle linebacker means that they have an immediate opening at outside linebacker. So maybe you can look at a linebacker / safety hybrid type of guy, which he has drafted in the past in Carolina. So there are so many different needs. You can even throw a pass-catching tight end in there as well. I mean, I honestly think where they go 10th overall is someone who has some flexibility in what they can do. The buzz term is positional flexibility from Sean McDermott, and I think that's going to be a big, big storyline and maybe the way that they draft throughout the 2017 NFL draft.
Joe Buscaglia joining us in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, you followed this team for a long time. You've covered them. You've been to drafts. You've seen how other teams operate in the draft. You mentioned the depth at wide receiver. You mentioned the depth in the secondary in this draft, knowing that there is depth there. How difficult is it to trade out of the first round if you're the Buffalo Bills?
I think it is difficult because you need a dance partner, but that said, I think what they need to hope for is that one of these top-tier guys fall a little bit, whether it be, I don't know, let's say Jonathan Allen from Alabama, defensive lineman. It's at a position that they really don't need to add to at this point in time, but it's someone that, if he was fully healthy, would have probably been a top 3 to 5 pick. So maybe he falls down the board, the Bills could sit there and find a playoff team and say, hey, you know what? This guy wouldn't have been there, but he's here right now. Give us your second round pick and fourth round pick, and we'll shoot you one of our fifth round picks, and let's make a deal here. So that's what they kind of need to happen, one of those top tier guys. But if someone like Malik Hooker or Jamal Adams or Marshawn Lattimore falls down to 10, I think you kind of have to stand pat and really address which one of those guys that you want, and because one of those guys can significantly impact the roster right away.
Joe, we keep hearing how these quarterbacks are falling in this draft, and depending on what mock you read, there probably be one of those guys the Bills could take in the second round. Do you see the Buffalo Bills taking a quarterback in this draft? And could one of those quarterbacks have a very famous name? I'm talking about Chad Kelly. Where do you come down on Chad Kelly as well?
Oh, Chad Kelly. I mean, listen, I've known this kid for a while now. I mean, he obviously played high school football in Buffalo, in the same conference of high schools that I went to. So I'm very familiar with him. Seen a lot of him playing, and you know, even back in the day, I used to do stuff, some high school TV games, and so I sat in meetings with him and kind of got to know who he was as a person. But he is such an interesting case because, you know, he has the arm, he has the certain amount of don't care, I'm going to try to make a play regardless of your defense, but sometimes it's a good thing to his game. And then he just completely makes baffling decisions other times where you're like, dude, why did you do that? So you mix that sort of hit or miss style of play along with all the off-field concerns. I think he is probably destined to be a late round pick or undrafted, and especially coming off an injury too. I think that's his best case. Get him in camp. Throw him on the practice squad, see if there's anything there. But I do think he will get a chance somewhere. Now, some of these other guys, like Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, I'm a big fan of those two guys. They're my top two guys. And then, you've got your Mitchell Trubisky's and Deshaun Kizer. I think the Bills could absolutely be in the market for a quarterback. I think 44 is probably the sweeter spot of the two. I don't think the Bills want to define their new regime with a new quarterback, but you know, if they have one of these guys in for a visit and fall in love with them, you can't completely rule that out. They're all over the board. But 44 seems like it would be a sweet spot for them. So if a guy like Mahomes is there at 44, you know, if it's me, I'm taking a swing on him because I think he has the potential to be great. I think he can make incredibly difficult throws look easy, and I certainly think with his mobility aspect to his game and how he can shift the pocket around and keep plays alive, I think that fits very nicely into what Rick Dennison is trying to do as the offensive coordinator. So if he's there, then I would personally take a swing on him.
Well, it's a healthy thing to have going into a draft. You want your opponents to not know what direction you're leaning with any one of your given picks. I don't like the fact that we've kind of pigeonholed that their two biggest needs are wide receiver and secondary, but by continuing to have the, hey, you know what, they still could take a quarterback conversation, at least you could be throwing off some of your opponents on draft day. Joe Buscaglia, our guest here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Joe, one of the things you also heard Coach McDermott say at the NFL owners meetings this week. Talk about the analytics a little bit, what he looks into as far as analytics. I mean, he certainly right now seems like way more cerebral than anything Rex Ryan was. I feel like he's going to be a lot more prepared, that he's going to be analyzing a lot more figures than you would ever see Rex Ryan do. You know, talk about what he was saying there in terms of analytics.
Yeah, I mean, sitting there a couple of chairs away from McDermott, listening to him talk about this sort of thing. And, you know, with analytics in the NFL, it's such a broad term. Like, you can throw that out there just as jargon as, like, oh, yeah, we do analytics. And people are like, oh, wow, they do analytics. But what the heck does that mean? I mean, analytics can be literally anything. So listening to how detailed McDermott was, I mean, I got to say, this guy has done everything right since he's been hired. I've been a big fan of his mind. I've been a big fan of how he's approaching certain situations. He's got, you know, a lot better of a personality than maybe he was given credit for when it first came around, when he was first hired anyway. So with this whole analytics thing, I mean, listening to him saying, hey, you know what, this is an aggressive sport by nature. We're going to have calculated aggressiveness. And because we know we want to be the ones that win or lose the game, as opposed to letting that be taken away from us. And that's great to me. That's great to hear, because so often you hear or you see these coaches just make these harebrained decisions on punting the ball at the opponent's 45 when you're down a couple of scores with 7 minutes to go. Yes, I am referring to Doug Marrone against the Denver Broncos, and no, I will not apologize. Because this is just an epidemic within the NFL that they have to be safe. But why? What's the reason for that? So when Sean McDermott goes through and lists out all these different things, and you know how he's constantly talking with people, hey, what happens in this situation, or you know, what's the best schedule to make to get the most out of players throughout the season, and it just really all blends into it, the fact that he doesn't go based on his gut. He creates his gut instincts based on information, and that is such the way to approach it, as opposed to the other way around.
Well, I love what you're saying. Go for it on fourth down when it's appropriate. The question is he – did Riverboat Ron rub off on him a little bit there, would you say?
Yeah, he seems to think it did, and he kind of saw a shift in how Ron Rivera coached and how he made decisions, because I'll never forget the catalyst to Riverboat Ron.
The Bills game.
Was the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that they didn't go for it with Cam Newton as their quarterback and decided to kick a field goal ended up biting them in the butt. And from then on forward throughout that season, Riverboat Ron was off and running. So I think Sean McDermott saw that. He tried to understand the situations and why Ron Rivera wanted to go for it on certain times, and why he wanted to, you know, finger quotes, push his luck compared to the other NFL standards. And I think that will rub off on him and how he approaches it. But again, we are in March, and you can really say anything you want right now. We just have to see him prove it. But I will say I am quite optimistic about the mind of this head coach as opposed to the last couple.
Joe Biscaglia from WKBW in Buffalo. You can read his work at WKBW.com. Bills beat reporter joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You're impressed with his mind, but let's talk about the physical nature of this guy. I mean, who gets up at 3 a.m. to work out? I mean, does this guy sleep? What is it? If the, you know, is he trying to make the rest of us guys look bad, the rest of us mortals look bad, Joe? What is he talking about?
Yeah, I honestly, the whole time, like, I was sitting right next to my buddy Mike Rodak from ESPN, mm-hmm. and he asked the best question of that whole thing. He's like, so when do you sleep? Like, if you wake up at 3 to 5 in the morning, go do this MMA thing, go get a workout in. I mean, I read a story from Joe Person, who works for the Charlotte Observer, who used to cover McDermott down in Carolina. And he said he's one of the only NFL coaches with a lower body fat percentage than some of his players.
Yeah.
It's that's the type of guy we're dealing with here. However, you know, that does cause a little concern, just because you don't want the guy to burn himself out too quickly as a head coach, because now he is in control of everything. So he has to take some me time and get away from everything, go spend time with his family, stuff like that. But, you know, coming from a fellow workaholic like myself, you know, I respect the hell out of what he's trying to do, and the fact that he wants to wake up that early to go work out. I think that's the, you know, we'll see how long the whole non-sleep thing lasts with Sean McDermott.
Well, we like the joke here. You know, it was a Bills work week. They had a game, and you had Rex Ryan coming back from Cleveland at 3 a.m. So.
He really is the anti-Rex Ryan. I mean, he's getting up when Rex was going to sleep. He's in shape. Rex is Rex. Yeah. If you're a defensive player and you see Rob Ryan, are you going to respect that guy, knowing that physically you are so much more imposing than he is? I mean, Sean McDermott, you're right. I mean, he's got the work ethic that you want your leader to set the tone. I mean, if you see that guy working out at 3 in the morning, well, that kind of makes everything that you're doing second best.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be hearing about any stories about Sean McDermott removing his lap band to be in solidarity with his brother anytime soon.
Joe, we really appreciate you taking time out this afternoon to join us in your inaugural visit to the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. You can, again, read his work at WKBW.com, Bills beat reporter in Buffalo. Joe Biscaglia joining
us.
Joe,
appreciate the time, and before you know it, it'll be camp time. Appreciate it.
I know. Of course, guys, anytime you need me, just let me know. I'm willing to do it.
We appreciate it. Joe Biscaglia joining us. Thanks, Joe. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, and Joe Biscaglia joining us with the Bills Inside Scoop, provided exclusively by Perry's Ice Cream. Life is a bowl of Perry's.
Bill says, are you feeling better? We're now a week away from the Lock and Four report, and I think the consensus, and I'm going to steal what Biscaglia said there, give Doug Whaley the benefit of the doubt, okay? If the owner says that report is erroneous, if you had, as you heard Biscaglia say, them spotted walking around together, it's a new relationship. Maybe there was some little conflict, but I'm of the belief that, okay, I'm going to, too, give Doug Whaley the benefit of the doubt here heading to the draft.
And let's remember, conflict can be very productive. It's better to have that conflict than to shield that conflict, not have that discussion. If they disagree, work through those disagreements, and then through those disagreements, you start to build trust. You guys both have a common goal. You want to win football games. At least that's what you hope. They both have the common goal. I don't think Doug Whaley wakes up in the morning and says, oh, how can I tank this team today? I don't think that's happening. So yeah, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's see how this continues to play out. It is encouraging, Gene. I got to say, you know, based on where we were a week ago, you know, a few comments from some of your thought leaders at the organization make you feel like, all right, maybe they are in unison and maybe they are moving things in the right direction.
You had mentioned there was a team that is keeping Joe Mixon on their board.
Yeah. You know what? We've got that story and more. We're going to serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form next. It's a little something we call NFL appetizers in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Find out which team has Joe Mixon on their draft board next in the sports bar on ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.